It was not long after that that God blessed us to be able to buy our first house. But you know, God sometimes got to kick you out of the nest. Man, we were happy in that apartment complex. Oh man, we were happy there. It was nice. I could have still been living there. But God, he's like the mother eagle. He stirs the nest and kicks you out. And then when you start to fall, he flies underneath you and he catches you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How Can I Find Contentment in This Life? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How Can I Find Contentment in This Life?
This. Look what all, you know, and that sense of pride can come into all of us. And I've shared this before, but one of the things I like to do, right? There might be some other people here that are the same way. One of the things I like to do is when I get finished cutting my grass and edging it up and trimming my hedges, is to go sit back and just, wow, that looks good. And don't let my wife come. Don't let my wife come and say, oh, the yard looks good. Wow. Then I'm really like, right? So there's that sense that when we have an abundance or when we have a certain degree of wealth that we think that we have attained on our own, it's very easy to forget God. And so the writer here, he says, Lord, don't give me riches. Now, again, it's like somebody said, I've been rich and I've been poor. And rich is a whole lot better. But so if you got to give me one or the, no. but notice, I don't think, in this passage, I don't think he's condemning riches. I don't think he's condemning having things. I think what he's condemning is when they have us. Because notice what he says. He says, if these things have us, if riches cause me, Lord, to forget about you, then I don't need. And how many people are there walking around in the world today that they think that they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps? And no doubt that they have done a lot of things to get to where they're at today. But they got to go back and they got to realize that it's God who helped them to get to the place where they're at. Because in Acts we read, in him we live and move and have our being. Somebody said, well, God, God woke you up this morning. You could even start it on your way if God didn't wake you up. And then somebody said, well, God didn't wake me up. The alarm clock woke me up. Take that alarm clock over to, I was at, for a funeral the other day, Greenwood Cemetery. Let's take that clock over there and ring it and see how many people get up. No, God wakes you up. God wakes you up. And we need to realize that it's even him, and the writer of the psalm said, it's God who gives you the ability to get wealth. If God was to take his hand off of your life, man, your whole world would collapse. Just think of all the people. Now, I got a letter, and I'm going to read it one day. I got a letter from a prisoner that wrote and listens to the Anchor in Jesus. And in this letter, the guy was explaining, and I'm going to get his permission to come and read the letter. But one of the things that he had talked about in there, how he had everything. He said he had everything. He had a family, nice place, and then something happened, and he lost it all, and he ended up in jail. Man, all of us are just one inch away. If God was to take it off, our whole world would collapse. And that's why we need, somebody say, well, you know, God is a crutch. You know, weak people, They have concocted this idea of God, and because God is a crutch for them, then I say, bring it on. Give me a crutch, a walker, a wheelchair, all of it. You know, because I need God every step of the way. I get up every morning and I say, Lord, I can't make it without you. Lord, if you were not in my life, I don't know what I would do. And so the writer says, don't give me poverty if it's going to cause me to forget. I mean, give me riches if it's going to cause me to forget about you. Have your riches torn you away from God? Have they pulled you away from God? Agar, Lord, don't give me riches if they're going to cause me to forget you. And then the second thing he says that contentment will keep you from denouncing God. He said, lest I be poor and steal and take the Lord's name in vain. Now, with this statement, he goes all the way to the other end of the spectrum. He goes from, Lord, don't give me riches, all the way to the other end and says, Lord, don't let me be poor. Poverty. And I was thinking about this. He says, poverty might turn me into a thief. And I was, okay, how's this going? And then I began to think, you know, and we've all heard the saying and the expression that, you know, if a person steals just because they want to steal something, then you know, that's one kind of thief. Now, again, I'm not standing in the pulpit condoning thievery in any way. So I don't know anybody say, oh, Pastor Glaze says it's all right to steal. No, I didn't say that. But it seems like people are a little more understanding if somebody is hungry and then they're going out trying to feed their family. It's still wrong, all right? It's still a sin. It's still something that's not right in the eyes of God. So I'm saying that right up front. I don't want anybody to walk out here. I think people, man, oh, well, Pastor Glaze, man, he's teaching us all right. If you're hungry, if you're poor, it's all right to go steal. No, that's not what I'm saying. All right, everybody understands that, right? Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. All right. But sometimes it's better to understand that a man was trying or a woman was trying to feed their family. You know, I was the other day, I was in the supermarket. And I was coming out, and there was an Indian lady, and she had a little daughter. And they were standing there asking for money. And I thought to myself, you know, and again, going back to the last point, any of us could find ourselves in this situation at any point in time. And I said, here this lady got her little girl out here, and they got a bucket, and they're asking for money. And the Lord just touched my heart. You know, I gave her some. You look at that. And here's the lady that, you know, her next step could be what? Her next step could be to see something on somebody's dashboard or to see somebody drop something and have that heart to go take it. And then, in turn, people get mad at God. God, man, if you would have met my need, God, if you would have provided for me, I wouldn't be out here doing this. So the writer says, God, don't give me poverty, because poverty might cause me to go out here and be a thief. And then I'll disown you. I will curse you, God, to your face, because you let this happen to me. And so he says, give me neither riches nor poverty, Lord. But notice what he says. Give me food that you want me to have. Let me be content with what you want me to have. And so that leads into my next point. And as I look at my next point, we're going to look at the resolutions of contentment. The resolutions of contentment. And there are three. There are three. Resolution, number one, I will recognize the Lord as my provider. Let me read that again. I will recognize the Lord as my provider. Who is your provider? Is it not Jehovah Jireh? Isn't he the one that provides? Isn't it not the one who provides for the birds? You know, man, go back and read Psalm 104. It says that all the animals wait for God to provide for them. It says that even the hills and the mountains and the trees wait for God to provide. Is he not our provider? Is he your provider? Contentment begins when I make the resolution that I'm not my provider, that my job is not my provider, that God is my provider. That's the first resolution I have to make. It seems so simple, but yet and still people struggle with it all the time, that God is the one who provides for me. John Piper, he said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Are you satisfied with what God has done? You know, I honestly can say, and I know I'm the preacher and I got the microphone and I can get up here and talk, but one thing I can honestly say, I'm satisfied with God as my provider. I truly am satisfied with God as my provider. Do I have everything I want? No, but I got everything I need. God is my provider. And when we think about discontentment, what is that a sign of? It's a sign of not trusting God. Discontentment says, God, you are my provider, but you are not providing what I need. Discontentment. You are my provider, but I got a little complaint here. We need to have a little conversation that you're not giving me what I need. And there are many people that are sitting here today that you will say, yeah, you have no problem recognizing that God is your provider. But then you say, well, but he's not giving me what I need. When I was living in Lynchburg, Virginia, something happened with the apartment that we were staying in, and that you had to renew the lease every year, and something happened. I don't know what happened, but we got a notice that we had to be out in 2 or 3 days. And I got four kids with nowhere to go. But I knew God was going to provide. I knew God was, it was a low-income housing that I was living in. And that's pretty bad when you get put out of there. And there was a guy, he played for the Atlanta Falcons, and he was in Lynchburg. And he heard about my situation. And he asked me, my wife, and my four kids to come stay with him. And we went and we stayed with him. I don't know how long it was for. It might have been for like a summer. Now, you're talking about two families living together, right? You know, you be praying, Lord, okay, open some doors up here. And it was not long after that that God blessed us to be able to buy our first house. But you know, God, sometimes, got to kick you out of the nest. Man, we were happy in that apartment complex. Oh, man, we were happy there. It was nice. I could have still been living there. But God, he's like the mother eagle. He stirs the nest and kicks you out. And then when you start to fall, he flies underneath you. And he catches you, that God is our provider. And so the first thing we need to realize is that God is our provider. Notice what he says here. He says, Lord, in verse, neither give me poverty nor riches, but Lord, you feed me. Feed me, Lord, with food convenient for me. You give me the food, Lord. The second thing, resolution number two. Resolution number one, I will recognize the Lord as my provider. You know, I usually don't do this, but let's do it. Can you say it? I will recognize the Lord as my provider. Let me hear you.
I will recognize the Lord as my provider.
Amen. Amen. The second resolution I will trust the Lord to give me exactly what I need. Notice what he says. With food, with meat, convenient. Notice what the word convenient. You know what that means? It means necessary. Lord, that you have calculated all this out, and Lord, you know what's necessary for me in my personal life. You know what's necessary for me in my family life, in my social life, in my educational life, in my area of employment, whatever area it is, Lord, you know what is necessary for me. You think you know? You think you know better than God? Yeah, some of the people sitting here. No, it's not in Bethany. There's 25 churches in Homewood, something in that vicinity. It's in them other 24, not here. They think God knows exactly what you need. Lord, give me food necessary for me. Knowing peace, God's peace. Hey, we ought to understand. And joy, the Lord's joy, that strengthens me on every hand. Coupled with knowing the Almighty God is my Father, and that he loves me. And knowing all this, I know, somebody tell me, he'll meet my needs. He'll meet my needs. Not only is God my provider, but the Lord knows exactly what I need. And so when we are discontent, we are saying two things. Or it's a sign of two things. Watch this now. Don't miss this. Discontentment is a sign of you thinking you know more than God. God, I know better what I need than you do. And the second sign of discontentment is that you think God has made a mistake. If I'm discontent, then that means that God made a mistake. God, you have given me the wrong things. See, that's why we need resolution number two. Resolution number two, I will trust the Lord to give me exactly what I need. My vehicle, God will give me exactly. If I trust him, he's going to give me exactly what I need. My house, if I trust him, he's going to give me exactly what I need. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Resolution number three. Resolution number three. I will be content with what the Lord gives me. I will be content. Notice what Agar said. Lord, feed me with food, with meat from your hand. And Lord, whatever you give me, whatever I have, Lord, I will be content with what you give me. And discontentment is a sign of a complaining spirit. Discontentment says, Lord, I'm not happy with what you provided for me. So I'm going to complain about it. I'm going to let others know how unhappy. You know, you come and you say, God bless me with this, God bless me with that. Oh, God is good. Oh, the Lord is good. And then we complain about what we have. So what are we saying? We're saying, Lord, I'm not happy with what you provided. And so if we want to break this discontentment, you know, we got to make these three resolutions. And you know, I mean, some of you might have came thinking that I was going to have a formula, a magic formula. It's very simple. He told us right there. You know, sometimes things are so simple, and we make them complicated. We just need to exercise faith and believe what God said in his word and do what God said, that he is my provider, that he is going to give me exactly what I need, and that I need to be content with what God gave me. Hey, it's as simple as that. And as I close today, I want to close with this illustration. And I'm going to read this because there's a lot to it, but I think that it's going to bless somebody if I can find it, if I brought it out here with me. Okay, I didn't bring it. That's okay. I remember it. There was a Mexican guy that came from fishing. And as he came from fishing, he ran into this tourist, an American, wealthy American. And he asked him what he did. And he said that, you know, I catch fish. You know, I keep a little for myself. I sell some. I go home every afternoon. I take a nap. I take a siesta. Then I go in the evening, and I relax, and I spend time with my family and friends. And the American said, well, you can probably do better than that. And the Mexican guy said, how so? He said, well, you can... you'll begin to get a fishing boat. And you can get this fishing boat, and you can go out, and you can catch a bunch of fish. And then you can open up a fish shop. And then you can begin to sell these fish out of the shop. And then, you know, pretty soon, you'll have a lot of money coming in. And then you'll be able to go and get you a bachelor's degree. And you'll be able to go and get an MBA. And then you'll be able to go and open up a super-sized fishing store. And then you can hire a bunch of employees and have them working for you. And you know, you'll be busy, you know, doing this and doing that and making sure time cards and employment needs and insurance and all that. And you can spend, 20 years doing that. And then after all that, you can retire. And then Mexican guy, well, what will I do when I retire? He said, you can go fish in the morning. He said, you can come back in the afternoon and take a siesta. And then you can spend the rest of the day with your family and friends. And the guy said, well, why would I want to go through all that headache when I can do this right now? Contentment is right now. Fine, it's right there. It's within your grasp. And sometimes we are looking for what's around the bend. And, you know, we need to be faithful and we need to work hard and we need to be trying to move ahead. But in that, realize that we can find contentment right where we are. And if we need something else to make us content, when we get it, just like the lady who the employer gave $100 to, I wish I'd have asked for $200. I wish I'd have asked for $200. You got to find contentment where you're at. And it's right. It's right in here. It's right around you. And while the rest of the world chases the almighty dollar, while the rest of the world looks to see how they can get over on the next person, in this dog-eat-dog world, we can find contentment in our lives. And I will say this, that the greatest contentment that we can have is first and foremost found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That if we know Christ as our Savior, that he brings that contentment into our lives so that we can have contentment.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Handle Problems. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Can I Find Contentment in This Life? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Find Contentment in This Life? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Can I Find Contentment in This Life? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.